chapter 6, starting with verse 10. And by the way, I am still looking for topics that you would want me or Rabbi Glenn to teach on. I asked a couple weeks ago, someone mentioned spiritual warfare, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Spiritual warfare, what it is and what it isn't, both are important. It might not seem like it, but there is a great war raging right now, at this very moment. And Christians and Messianic Jews are in the middle of this great war. We are in the middle of a war between God and the good angels and Satan and the fallen angels, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. It is a real war that is raging right now for the souls of human beings. In this war, the sons and daughters of God are opposed by powerful, intelligent, cunning, and malevolent enemies, the fallen angels. On our own, we are not strong enough to withstand them. But we have an ally who is far stronger than they are. Adonai Tzevaot, the mighty Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies with all his forces. Rabbi Paul, who wrote Ephesians, teaches us that his mighty power and the protection that he provides enables us to stand against the schemes of our adversary and his forces. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. When Adam and Eve joined the rebellion of the fallen angels, Satan became the god of this world. Human beings, which were now fallen, came under the control of the devil and the other fallen angels. We became subjects of their dark kingdom. These evil spirits want to keep us under their control and want as many people as possible to share their destiny in the lake of fire. When we hear the good news, the gospel, and respond with faith, we receive a new godly nature. We receive the Holy Spirit, who transforms us and empowers us to live the right way. We are also transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Before we were born again, we were part of the kingdom of darkness, and we were at war with God. Now that we are saved, we are on God's side, fighting the prince of darkness and the fallen angels. Satan and the demons are real. Those evil spirits are smart and cunning and strong. To stand against them in this battle we are in, we need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We are able to do that by putting on the full armor of God, all the spiritual protection God has made available to us. To be successful in our battles, we must know who our enemies are and who our enemies aren't. We don't want to be fighting the wrong opponents. Rabbi Paul informs us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, people, human beings, But our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. People are not our enemies, even if they are attacking us, persecuting us, hurting us, maybe even killing us. Our battle is not with people, but with the evil spirits who are behind people, influencing them, controlling them, motivating them to do bad things. We are not at war with human beings. We don't want to hurt people. We don't want to hate people. We want to turn them to God. We want them to be saved. We want them to be redeemed. We want them to be set free from the kingdom of darkness and become our brothers and sisters and join us in the war against the dark powers. People are made in the image of God and are therefore very precious. And they are redeemable, fixable, savable. People, unlike fallen angels, can be redeemed. So if people curse us, we bless them. If they hit us on the cheek, we turn the other cheek. If they hurt us, we pray for them like Messiah did. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. We bless them. We pray for them. We bring them the message of salvation. And those who are chosen for salvation will turn to the Lord like Saul of Tarsus did, who gave us this great teaching. Our enemies are not flesh and blood. They are spirits, non-physical beings who have access to this physical realm. Our enemies are organized and they are powerful. The devil is their leader. He is the god of this world. Serving under him are rulers and powers and authorities and forces, other evil spirits who control various parts of this dark, fallen world. Our enemies are intelligent and they are devious. The devil has schemes to harm us. Schemes involve intelligence, careful planning, craftiness. Satan and the demons know us. They know our strengths. They know our weaknesses. They try to exploit our weaknesses. Our enemies are evil. God is good. Perfectly good. The fallen angels are in rebellion against God and against goodness. They are wicked, corrupt, twisted, perverted. They tempt us toward evil. They try to corrupt us morally, spiritually. Our enemies come from heavenly realms and have access to heavenly realms. But our war with them does not take place in heavenly realms. The war takes place in our minds and in our hearts. Here's how they fight us. If a person is not born again, Satan and the demons try to keep that person in that damned condition. They try to keep him from the truth that will set him free from their control and from their destiny. And so when anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, Messiah told us that the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Satan and the demons fight us with false teachings, the doctrines of demons. They cultivate false religions and false philosophies and try to keep people trapped in those false belief systems. If the truth sets us free, and it does, then lies and deceptions keep us enslaved. The evil spirits know our weaknesses, and they target our weaknesses. If we struggle with pride, or greed, or lust, or anger, or selfishness, or laziness, or the desire to control and dominate others, if we are tempted by drugs or alcohol, the evil spirits know. They target our weaknesses so that we yield to the things that tempt us. And our weaknesses get worse. And our willpower is lessened. And our self-control is lessened. They want us to get weaker and weaker, more and more corrupt, less and less human, more and more wicked, like they are. Our enemies are smart, crafty, evil, malevolent, deadly. They know us and are able to influence us, but they can be resisted. Here's how. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Just like a soldier is better able to stand his ground if he has all his armor on, we can stand our ground by putting on the full armor of God, all the spiritual protection that the Lord has for us. If we only put on some of the armor, the enemy will know where we are vulnerable and will target that vulnerability. We need the full armor so that all our vulnerable weak spots can be protected. So, let's consider the full armor of God, piece by piece. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the good news of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I am sure when Paul is describing the armor of God, he is referring to the armor worn by a Roman soldier. The belt of a Roman soldier kept his clothes in place, and his sword was attached to his belt. Truth is like a belt. It supports us, keeps things in place, protects us. What is truth? Yeshua said, "Your word, God, is truth." So, when we are being tempted, we remind ourselves of what the Word of God teaches about that subject, and we are strengthened to resist that temptation. We do what Messiah himself did when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness very early in his ministry. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Yeshua answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Temptation number one, Yeshua responds with, "It is written." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Yeshua answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Temptation number two, Yeshua responds to the temptation by quoting the Word of God, reminding himself of the Word of God. He overcomes that temptation. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Yeshua said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." In response to each temptation, Yeshua applied the Word of God to that situation and was able to resist that temptation. We are to do the same. When we are thinking too highly of ourselves and too little of others, when we are thinking too highly of ourselves and not highly enough about God, we remind ourselves, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Are we being greedy? We remind ourselves, do not love the world nor the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Are we being tempted by lust? All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Yeshua the Messiah and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Are we struggling with anger? He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit is better than he who captures a city. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered? Are we giving into bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness? Forgive us our sins, as we also have forgiven those who have sinned against us. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Afraid of sharing the gospel with others. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. The belt of truth. Your word is truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the chest, which includes the vital organs like the heart and the lungs. A Roman soldier had a breastplate. We need righteousness to be protected. The breastplate of righteousness. We must be in a right relationship with the living God. That happens when we respond to the gospel and transfer our loyalties to the Father, Son, and Spirit. Then we strive to live the right way, according to the teachings found in the Word of God. Being in a right relationship with God, making a commitment to live the right way according to the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness protects us. A soldier needed to have good footwear. He needed to be able to walk, march, perhaps a long distance to the place of battle. He could not afford to slip while in combat. We need to have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the good news of peace. That means we are to proclaim the gospel to others as part of our daily lifestyle. Every day we are to be ready, prepared to tell the good news to those the Lord enables us to encounter that day. Every day we look for opportunities to tell others the good news of peace. This not only benefits those we bring the message to, it benefits us. It strengthens us. It protects us. A soldier needed a shield. We need the shield of faith with which we will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield protected the soldier from swords and spears and arrows, including arrows that were set on fire. Our enemies will attack us with fiery trials and temptations. When that happens, we need to respond with faith, the shield of faith. Faith is our shield. Faith protects us. What is faith? Faith is knowing something without being able to see that something. Faith is knowing that God is real and that his word is true. And then being faithful to God and faithful to his word. That protects us. That keeps us safe. So have faith. Trust God and his word. Be loyal to God and His Word, especially when you are going through trials, temptations, hardships, difficult circumstances. That's when you need the shield of faith the most. A soldier had a helmet which protected his head. We are to have the helmet of salvation. So many people today are confused and unhappy and angry. They try to be happy by turning to drugs or alcohol or relationships or sex, by seeking money, by seeking power, by seeking worldly success. You know, I would be confused and unhappy and angry too if I believed that I was a meaningless product of mindless evolution, and that when I died, I ceased to exist, and that there is no ultimate meaning or purpose to my life. I would be confused and unhappy and angry too. Much of the battle we are in is fought in the mind. We protect our minds with the helmet of salvation, with salvation, by knowing that we are saved, that we have been reconciled to God, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, that we are going to live forever as the glorious sons and daughters of God in the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Knowing that we have been saved, knowing the God of our salvation protects our minds. The last piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we are being lied to, when the attempt is made to deceive us, when we are being tempted in various ways, we remind ourselves of what the Word of God teaches. In every situation we encounter, every decision we make, we apply the Word of God to that situation. We apply the Word of God to that decision. That protects us. That keeps us safe. And when we understand the Word of God, we are then able to go on the offensive. The sword was used defensively for protection, but it could also go on the offensive. When we understand the Word of God, we are able to go on the offensive and teach the truths of the Word of God to others. We are able to demolish the strongholds of erroneous thinking, destroy wrong arguments, tear down false and arrogant opinions, turn thoughts that were disobedient to Messiah into thoughts that are obedient to Messiah. What I've been describing, putting on the full armor of God, is real spiritual warfare. It is something in which we are engaged every day. Now, there's another aspect of spiritual warfare, and that is dealing with those who are demonized, demon-possessed. Thankfully, in our society, having to deal with someone who is demonized is a relatively rare experience. In my own life and ministry, there have only been three, four, five times over 40 years now where I've had to interact with someone who I knew was demonized. Rare. Real, but rare. If we do encounter a situation in which someone is demonized and in need of exorcism, God has given us the authority to do that by proclaiming the gospel to that person. The truth sets us free. And by prayer and fasting. And if you ever do encounter someone who is demonized, it is wise to involve the leaders of your faith community in that situation. And don't try to handle that situation on your own. Real spiritual warfare is about resisting temptation and deception by knowing God and the Word of God and bringing the Word of God to others, and removing demons, casting out demons, exorcising demons in the rare situations when someone is demon-possessed. That's real spiritual warfare. Real spiritual warfare is not the bizarre kind of spiritual warfare that is taught and practiced by some today. Real spiritual warfare does not involve binding and loosing demons. Binding and loosing refer to spiritual authority entrusted to the leaders of Messiah's community to make decisions. Binding and loosing means allowing things or not allowing things. Binding and loosing has nothing to do with spiritual ropes to restrain evil spirits. We do not bind or loose demons. Real spiritual warfare is not involved in what is called by some today spiritual mapping. The idea that we need to identify demonic strongholds in an area where certain sins or occult practices have taken place, and then cast out the evil spirits of that area that specialize in those sins or occult practices. Neither the Lord Yeshua nor his disciples were involved in spiritual mapping, nor did they cast out demonic strongholds from an area, nor should we. Real spiritual warfare does not involve talking to demons and asking them for their names or what they specialize in order to exorcise them. Neither the Lord Yeshua nor any of his disciples did that, nor should we. We do not cast out demons of pride, demons of greed, demons of lust, demons of anger, demons of selfishness. We do not exorcise evil spirits of alcohol, evil spirits of nicotine, evil spirits of cocaine, or anything similar. These are sins to be resisted over a lifetime. They are not demons to be exorcised in a moment. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.